Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, November 29th, 2017. And with me today, I have the party crew, Kelly Gaumont. How are you?
Woo! I'm doing well, party people. How are you?
I'm doing all right. John Martellaro, how are you?
Woo! Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
I've never heard you say woohoo before, John. I am so glad we have that recorded. I may have to actually pull that out of the show.
Your ringtone.
And make a ringtone. So when you call me out of my pocket, I hear woohoo.
Well, he had a system update overnight. And apparently it added, like audio emoticons. That's what it's added.
That's pretty cool. I love that we can roll out these OTA updates for John like that.
My Slack 3.0 was accidentally replaced by Kirk 1.2.
Well, to be fair, John's software updates tend to go pretty well.
They do.
That's not the case for everybody. Yeah, it's not the case for all software updates, but John seemed to be pretty incident-free.
Yeah, and we very rare. Actually, I don't think we've ever had to roll back to an earlier John from Time Machine.
No, for John, no, we have not.
No.
Although we do have some users today that might be double thinking that High Sierra upgrade.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to let everyone know we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlox. And they're the company that does some really awesome stock content for video, audio, and images. We'll talk about them soon. But since Kelly has already dropped a hint about what we're talking about, hey, how about that macOS High Sierra root flaw? And for those of you that may have missed the news yesterday or this morning, which means you probably weren't on the internet at all.
Yeah.
This flaw was discovered yesterday where you can at the login window for your Mac on a High Sierra, you know, where you would type in your username and then password and then get to see your desktop. You could change. Or you could type root for the username, leave the password blank, and just keep hitting return until you were logged in as root.
I don't understand how this could happen.
Well, I can explain
it. We've had 13 versions of macOS starting from Cheetah back in 2001, and it has been shepherded as a BSD Unix operating system. But somebody's mucking around with the internals of this Unix system and fiddling and adding features and mangling the system. This is Unix. It's holy. You don't mess with those things.
Well, part of what from what I heard, from what I have gathered, I'm not running High Sierra right now, so I'm not exposed to this issue right now. But literally every social feed I have was melting down over this yesterday. I guess I won't check Twitter for a while. And then Slack started in on it. And then. So anyway, one thing that I heard was that system integrity protection, all the SIP stuff. If you disable SIP, you are not exposed to this security flaw.
If you disable SIP.
Yes. So the thing that's supposed to keep you safe from all these sorts of shenanigans, if you turn that off, it keeps you safe from these sorts of shenanigans. It just gets weirder all the time.
Oh, now, Bertrand Soleil, where are you now?
Jordan
Hubbard, please come back.
There's already an update.
Yes.
The update is out for people who need it. So even if you don't quite, this is the same sort of advice I give lots of people. Like, Apple is legit on this, and it was less than 24 hours from the time that it basically broke on Twitter to the time that the patch was released. So this is one of those cases where, like, nod and smile and do what Apple tells you. When Apple says there is an update, don't say remind me tomorrow. Just stop what you're doing and go do the update. It's going to take a restart. Everybody knows it's just going to be fine. But this is one you have to do, because part of the problem is that there are certain instances where, for example, a person with unsavory intentions could remote into your computer and get the same access. So this isn't a case of, well, no one else walks up to my computer. I don't need to worry about this. Yes, you do. Because your computer is probably on the internet. And that means you really need to be making sure that you're updated. So this is exactly the kind of stuff that generally happens in secret. And this is the kind of stuff that we say, there's a security update out, just nod and smile and go install it, because this is the thing that you need to do. If you want to go dig into the whys and the wherefores of this security update, I mean, or to you, but in the meantime, you know, you should be doing that reading as you're doing the update, because security updates aren't the ones that steer you wrong. You know, when people talk about having trouble with an update causing their computer trouble, it's never the security updates that are what's giving them an issue. So these are safe to install. It's a thing you need to do, and it's very important that you get them done in a timely manner, particularly this one, because it's a huge fundamental flaw.
Question for you guys.
Okay.
Should someone be fired for this?
I don't have enough information to pass that judgment.
Letting a camera battery die when Steve Jobs is on stage is one thing, but this is quite another.
Well, I wonder how much something like this, and I'm not saying it to explain it, to excuse it, but could be explained to be understood. So maybe it was a thing that happened in 10.12, for example, where once the SIP stuff started becoming the default and more things were falling underneath that, and then we started having all of the stuff with Kext and making all of those things like not necessarily work the way that they should, because system integrity protection was supposed to be walling off some of that stuff.
Yeah, but Kelly, I have a hard burner with this, because I tested this on El Capitan and Sierra, and the flaw is not there.
Right.
Which means people are meddling without QA testing the most fundamental parts of Unix security.
And that's the thing that I'm wondering about is, did this happen? Is this something that inadvertently happened as a result of something else? That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it okay. But I'm trying to understand what the piece is that we don't know that explains how we got here.
Well, my theory is that a senior programmer who's sitting there and he's tasked with doing a job, and he says, I need to make this happen. Here's what I do to make this happen. And he makes a code change. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have the Unix perspective or a Unix graybeard leaning over his shoulder saying, son, you better check that.
Well, okay, here's what Apple said. They said a logic error existed in the validation of credentials. This was addressed with improved credential validation. So,
of course, Pucky.
Well, I believe that when they say this is what happened. That now the question becomes,
logic error.
How did this happen? Mm-hmm. So did they go mucking in something in the Unix underpinnings?
Yes.
Or
yes.
Do they have something else that they did that? Yeah, see, it's hard.
Well, See, here's the thing that I wonder is
holy ground. You don't go messing around with security unless you really know what you're doing.
Right. And that's why I wonder if maybe this was a side effect. Like somebody went, I have to test these particular steps, and doing so made something else really long and complicated. So if I just make it so I can get in as root by hitting return 3 times, it's going to be better. And then that didn't get rolled back or something, because that's the kind of stuff that happens in QA department, in regular QA departments. Do I expect that to happen at Apple? Absolutely not.
And
however, this is where we are. So honestly, like as much as I want this to be some sort of like revolution and like fundamental, you know, like I want there to be like a really amazing explanation for this. I think in real life, probably what happened, as much as it, I don't want this to be true. I think that I expect that what happened, I hope it's some really interesting discussion about security and fundamentals of Unix and all that. But what I expect is that the QA at Apple is like QA at every place I and everyone I know who has ever worked in software has ever worked. They're sort of a second thought. They've been sort of benevolently neglected and kind of underfunded and don't necessarily have all of the resources to test all of the variations of all of the things. And the new system's coming out next fall, regardless. So I think that's part of what happened here. And I know that we were.
I can add some color to that, Kelly.
Well, in life, I'm sad that this might be where we are. I want to hear your
I think so, because I had Jordan Hubbard on background mode. I think it was last summer or autumn. And I asked him why he left Apple, and he said, because I thought that all of the work that needed to be done with Unix was done. There was nothing else for me to do. And I think he left about the time of somewhere around Lion or Mountain Lion. I don't remember exactly. But he left quite a while ago. And when he says my work is done and getting all the directory stuff straightened out and all the Unix underpinnings and getting everything consistent and integrated with the the GUI overlay, that, and he thinks the work is done, and then Apple comes along for years and years and years and keeps adding stuff and mucking with the system, tells me there's no more adult supervision anymore.
Right.
They think that they can get away with stuff.
So if he stayed, maybe there would have been someone that was babysitting this and prevented a problem like this from happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have a meeting where you'd go to the whiteboard and tell Jordan Hubbard, this is what you want to do. And he'd say, well, this is how you have to make it happen. Let's walk through this and let's make sure everything works. But I think they don't have anybody like that anymore.
This is Jordan Hubbard's fault.
Yes, we need you back. And Bertrand, where are you, Bertrand, when we need you? Bertrand went off to become on the board of directors of Parallels. Tried to get him on background mode, but he's microphone shy.
Oh. Well, not everyone is comfortable with the microphone. But I'm glad Jordan was on. I'll make sure that we have a link to that interview in today's show notes, so everyone can back and listen to that background mode. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks. And VideoBlocks, I know everyone's heard me talk about them before, but there might be someone that hasn't. So here's the scoop. VideoBlocks, what they do is put together all of the stock video content that you might need for your projects. They also have stock audio clips and stock images for you to peruse as well. And they have over 150,000 videos. They have over 100,000 audio clips and metric bucket loads of images, and they're adding more content all the time.
Metric bucket loads.
Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah, those are bigger than Imperial bucket loads.
So yes.
All of this content, and it's like really great stuff. When I've gone searching through to find videos that I want for little projects I'm working on, when I'm looking for photos to use in articles at Mac Observer, it's just been great. I've been able to find what I want. It's been easy, and I type in a search term for whatever it is I'm looking for, and I might get like hundreds and hundreds of items returned back to me. And then I just click on one of the little subcategories that it suggests, and all of a sudden I have 30 images. So it becomes really easy to narrow down the scope of your searches, so you're not spending hours going through page after page after page trying to find the right image or video. You just narrow that search scope, and all of a sudden you have a screen full of content. You can pick out what you want, and away you go. It's royalty-free for personal and commercial use, so that's really cool. And it's a really good deal. It's $149 a year for all the content you can download from one of the services, whether that's the video, the audio, or the images. But they have a special deal. It's called the Triple Bundle, and this is for all of our Daily Observations listeners. So what you need to do is go to videoblocks.com/TDO to get the Triple Bundle, which has the video, audio, and images. And it's all for $149, all three services, instead of $149 for just one of the services. That gets you unlimited access to all the content for a whole year, but you have to do it soon, because this deal is good only in November and December. And I'm looking at my calendar right now. November's pretty much gone, which means we only have a few weeks left before we reach the end of December, and then the deal's gone. So you need to hop on this right away. Like, as soon as the show's done, go sign up and start downloading awesome content, like, right away. So here's what you need to do. Go to videoblocks.com/TDO to get all the stock video, audio, and images you can imagine for just $149. That's VideoBlocks, VideoBlocks.com/TDO. And thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor. All right. So I want to talk about something that's not quite as heavy as OMG, anyone can root my computer, WTF. So it's like, you know me, John. So
GMTA.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So I want to talk a little bit about the state of Apple TV. John, you've been doing just all kinds of digging into where we are with Apple TV right now. And so, of course, now that means we have Apple TV 4K. And you've been looking at some of the stuff that's going on with Apple's latest Apple TV. So fill me in.
Yeah, yesterday I wrote an article that went into some of the bits and bytes about the new Apple TV 4K. I like to dig into stuff like this. And it turns out that 4K television ain't like dusting crops. There are some wrinkles. So I kind of did a rundown of what everything you need to know when you buy the Apple TV 4K. For example, it has some notable new features. It has finally gigabit Ethernet for a change. It has full HDMI 2.0a support, which allows Dolby Vision and HDR10 high dynamic range. Bluetooth has been upgraded. It can do both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz on your Wi-Fi network. The processor went from an A8 to an A10X. So I looked at some of the notable features. Noted that the availability of the 64 gig has been a little bit delayed, but I have a 32 and I was able to walk into a local Best Buy and just buy it right off the shelf because Best Buy is very close. Mm-hmm. I talked about the purchasing sequence, if you buy an Apple TV 4K, you can still drive your regular high definition TV. There won't be any issues. It'll downscale and drive your TV at its best capability, so you don't have to worry about black screens. And so you can buy your 4K TV later at your leisure and you'll be gracefully upgraded. The picture, the Apple TV will sense the capability of your TV and send it the appropriate picture. I had forgotten about the setup process. I was gleefully reminded that at a key point in the setup process, you can just hold your iPhone next to the Apple TV, very close, by the way, like a hand width. And the Apple TV will just transfer all your credentials over and what it needs. And that speeds up the process a lot. It's so cool.
That's a feature that I really like. And it's one of those things that we saw first on Apple TV, actually. And it has since transitioned out or progressed out, so you can do the same thing. Like, let's say you get a new iPhone and you have your old iPhone and they're sitting side by side. You get the little screen that pops up and says, hey, you want to transfer the stuff from the old to the new? And all your settings move over. And it's the same thing if you get AirPods. You just hold them near your iPhone and the whole pairing thing just happens. And I, these are the little details that I just love from Apple, where they find something that's been tedious before, and they make
stuff they get right.
Where it just,
there's a new procedure with the Apple Watch too. You don't have to unpair and then repair. It's a little simpler now, right?
So look at that. A thing to me that's really nice about this is, aside from the ease, like, that's really great. But a thing that I sort of feel compelled to tell people, it's been a long time and an Apple TV is a nice price for gift giving and things like that. But there's not necessarily a lot of 4K content. So just because you get a new Apple TV and you start watching Netflix with that instead, you may not necessarily notice an uptick in the quality. So if you're buying one now, you're sort of investing in future proofing because you have to have a 4K television to go with it.
I went through this with high
definition.
And 4K
content to play on it.
I went through this with high definition in 2007, right. And it's a gradual process.
Right.
The joy of having the higher resolution screen is good, and then the rest of the content kind of follows along.
Right.
And I must say the TV I have is a really good scaler, and the 2K, the 1080p content looks tremendous on a 4K screen.
Right. So, but the thing I want to make sure people know is that, like, if you buy this for somebody, if you're not necessarily a super technical AV person like John, like I've ended up, and you buy one of these for somebody, like I bought my parents an Apple TV ages ago and it's been a while and I want to get them on a new one, like, the content that they're watching on it now is not automatically going to look nicer just because they're doing it through a 4K Apple TV as opposed to the one that they already have. So there are a number of other factors that go into that. And if you're not paying particular attention to all of that stuff, it's another thing that you have to consider. And also, if you're buying people movies for Christmas, since we're talking about 4K, real or fake 4K.com is your friend. Thank you, John, for giving me that resource. I tell everybody about it, and I keep finding people who keep having heard me just say it, so I'm gonna keep saying it. Brand new movies that come out are sometimes in what's called fake 4K, so make sure that this isn't stuff that you're ending up getting suckered into.
The thing you got to remember, Kelly, is that a 1080p movie, I've been told using the term 2K is not quite right. A 1080p movie upscaled to a 4K TV looks awfully good.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying and it won't look.
You'll be hard pressed to tell the difference between a 1080p movie that's been upscaled. Uh-huh. And a movie that is 4K original master.
Right. I just want to make sure people are. You need
electronic equipment to tell the difference.
But watching an older movie on Netflix that isn't something that's been upgraded to Netflix's 4K content, and you're watching that on your new 4K Apple TV, even if you have a new 4K television, it's not necessarily going to look amazing. Really, so there's a thing.
DVDs.
Yep.
Your DVDs are 480. Interlaced and upscaled, and it's a long way from 480 to 2160. So I bought Grantchester season 3 on DVD because I couldn't get it on Blu-ray, and Grantchester's a fabulous BBC series, by the way, and you can see the graininess of the DVD, and at this point you can no longer live on DVDs. You might be able to live on a DVD player with your high definition TV and a good scaler, but 4K TV makes the idea of a DVD obsolete now. You got to start thinking about Blu-ray or 4K Blu-ray.
It's so cute how you're talking about physical media.
Hey. Well, there are a lot of people who like the delivery of the disc. You know, you get 40 megabits per second off a Blu-ray. You get 100 megabits per second off of a 4K Blu-ray disc. This is image quality for purists. I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan or a Bourne fan and you want the ultimate in picture quality, you're not going to get it when compressed streaming. So for those occasions when you have really special movies that you are family favorites, like certain maybe Disney movies or something, you want the best. You just can't beat Blu-ray and 4K Blu-ray.
All right. Well, on that happy note, we are out of time. So, John, thank you for being here today.
Spock 13.0. Roger.
Kelly.
Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
It's so great to have both of you here. And thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO. Get the triple bundle, only $149 for their video, audio, and image stock content. All you can eat for a whole year, and that deal's only good through December, so hop to it, people. And listeners, I'm so glad you're here with us today, and thank you for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.